Zechariah chapter 7. Zechariah chapter 7, and I'd like to read verses 8 through 14 of this book of Zechariah. The gospel according to Zechariah. Zechariah is a gospel preacher. He's going to declare the gospel here in this passage of scripture. He's going to declare it very succinctly and distinctly. He's going to share with us some things about the gospel that is so vital. When we preach the gospel, as Zechariah preached the gospel, we must preach the truth about God. That is essential. Zechariah preached the truth about God. When we preach the truth about God, we're going to be preaching that God is an eternal being, that God has ever been. There's never been a time He wasn't. And He is in His eternality. He is the creator of heaven and earth. He's the creator of all things. And for us to completely and totally understand that He is the creator of spiritual life, we must be born again. We cannot fathom that. We may contend that God created the heavens and the earth, and He created all the grass, and He created all the trees, and He created all the animals. But when God convinces us of His very being, we will understand that He is the one that breathed into us salvation in the new birth. God is a God of sovereign mercy. He owed nobody anything. And yet we find that in the gospel that God is a God that said, I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy, and whom I will I harden. That's what He said. We must preach this God. Now, He's an offense to natural man. This God is an offense to natural man. Nobody wants to hear about a God that will do these things. And yet it's the truth of the gospel. He is a God, and He's a God of sovereign grace. When His grace is extended, it is sovereignly extended. He is a sovereign God. We will find that the Scriptures teach so plainly, and this is a succinct part of the gospel, is that He is a sovereign God, that He has sovereign grace and sovereign mercy. He sits and rules in a sovereign throne over a world that He is sovereign over. He's King of kings and Lord of lords. So it is essential when we preach the gospel that we preach this God. Now, when we preach the gospel, we're also going to preach that the truth about man. And Zechariah is going to do that for us tonight in several ways. He's going to preach the truth about man. Man is not almost dead. He's dead in trespasses and sin. There is nothing in him that can respond to this holy God. I was corrected today, or tried to be corrected. I said, man, natural man, can do nothing good. Well, what about someone doing it for someone else? I says, when it comes to our ability to correspond with a holy God, we can do nothing good. That's what God said. And nobody seeks after me. That's what God said. So Zechariah is going to share, and he has in the past, and he will continue through this book because he's a gospel preacher. He's going to declare the God of the Bible. He's going to declare that this God, that mankind, even the Jews, he's going to share with us that even these Jews, even these children of Judah that came back to Jerusalem, even these children that came back of the loins of Abraham, they, by nature, wanted nothing to do with this God. They would not submit to this God. And when we preach the gospel, we're also going to be preaching about Christ, the Messiah, the Savior. We're going to be preaching a Christ that is not frustrated. Never has been, never will be. He has always been King of kings and Lord of lords. So when we preach Christ, we're preaching a successful Christ. We're preaching a Christ that is going to fulfill the words about Him as found in the Old Testament as well as the New Testament, and summed up in the name that He was given by the Heavenly Father, by the Holy Spirit, and He consented in the covenant of mercy to do this. They shall call His name. You shall call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. He is going to be active, involved in that. And if it wasn't for that, nobody would ever be saved. We find here in the book of Zechariah, chapter 7, beginning with verse 8. Notice these words. The word of the Lord came unto Zechariah, saying. Now, this is an essential part about paying any attention to anybody that's declaring the truth. Did God speak to him? Did he get that out of the word? Did he get it out of the Bible? Where did he get that from? Well, if it's out of the Bible and is kept in context, we must preach it. It must be declared. And here we find that the word of the Lord came unto Zechariah saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts. Now, in this title, we've noticed a number of times as we've gone through the book of Zechariah and referred to other places in the Old Testament, this name, Lord of Hosts, has great meaning to the church. This name, Lord of Hosts, has great meaning to everybody that has been saved by the grace of God. This means that he is the Lord of armies. And as in the past, I want to do just this one thing. Go with me over to the book of Daniel. Before we continue reading, back up to the book of Daniel for just a moment. And we have Nebuchadnezzar giving us one of the greatest descriptions of the Lord of Hosts. In the book of Daniel, chapter 4, would you turn there with me? The book of Daniel, chapter 4, we have in this passage of scripture a great king. His name is Nebuchadnezzar. He's a pagan king. He's a king of Babylon. And he is giving, God gave him 7 years from ruling the people of Babylon. Turned him out. And in the end, God gave him some words that are recorded here in the book of Daniel. The Holy Spirit gave them to Daniel to record. Now, whether Daniel was there to hear them, it doesn't matter. These are the words that Nebuchadnezzar spoke when God gave his sense back to him. He found out that he was not who he thought he was. He thought he was all powerful. He was the sovereign king, and he found out that there is one higher than he is, and that's God, the Lord of hosts. Here in the book of Daniel, chapter 4, it says in verse 34, and at the end of days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes into heaven, and my understanding returned unto me. What a phenomena happened right here when Nebuchadnezzar was able to understand some things. He never understood this before. Whether this was salvation, I'm not going to say one way or the other, but what he had to say is the truth about God. And that's the truth that Zechariah is bringing over in the book of Zechariah when he uses, as the Holy Spirit leads him, uses this name, Lord of Hosts. He is talking about the God of the Bible. He's talking about the God of the Gospel. This great, almighty, all-powerful, all-eternal, all-faithful, never-changing God. This God. All right? Nebuchadnezzar says, return to me. I bless the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever. He came to understand something about the eternality of God in this. And that's the God of the Bible. That's the God that Zechariah is going to preach. Jeremiah preached the same God. Isaiah preached the same God. Guess what? Amos did too. And so did Obadiah. They preached the same God. This God of the Bible. The God of the Gospel. The God of the Gospel. He's not a frustrated God. He's a God that reigns and rules and does according to his will. This is what he goes on to tell us here. He says, I praised him who and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion. That means he's king forever. No time he's not been king. We're not waiting for him to become king. He's always been king. By the grace of God, we are brought to acknowledge that. We're not making him king. God did that before the foundation of the world in eternity past. God made the Son king. All right? He goes on to say, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. In every generation there has been his elect children. And he has called them out of darkness to his marvelous light. Every generation somewhere in this world there has been the gospel presented, gospel preached, the seed has gone out, and God has honored it by giving life to his people. And they, by the grace of God, have been that generation to generation. Now notice the next one. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. Now that's the sum and substance of natural man before a holy God. Reputed as nothing. They are nothing. We are nothing unless God intervene. Goes on to tell us there. And he doeth. This is God. This is that sovereign God. This is that holy God. This is that unchangeable God. He doeth to according to his will. He doeth according to his will. If you haven't read the article by Mike Lovelace in the last week's bulletin, You need to do that because he brings out a point of all the mess that's going on. God is not frustrated. He is doing his will. It looks like chaos, but God is ruling according to his eternal purpose. He goes on, he says, he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or stop him from doing what he pleases to do. Not, God is not going to be frustrated. Never has. I brought out today, God's never lost a battle. If he sets his eyes on someone from eternity past, he will bring them into the fold. And when they're brought in, when I was brought in, I was thankful that he would do that, that he would overcome my influence and my thoughts and my lostness and my death and all of that stuff would overcome it. So none can stay his hand or say, what doest thou? Now that's the God that Zechariah is preaching over here in the book of Zechariah chapter 7. This is the Lord of hosts. This is the Lord of hosts. So as we go back to the book of Zechariah chapter 7, it tells us here, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, execute true judgment, show mercy and compassion, every man to his brother, and oppress not the widow, nor the fatherless, the stranger, nor the poor. Let none of you imagine evil against his brother in your heart. That's the standard. That is the standard. How many have kept the standard? You know, the same thing is brought out over in the book of Micah. Would you turn back with me to the book of Micah? Micah chapter 6. Now, it's interesting. The point was brought out in the Bible study tonight on the Zoom meeting. You know how often I miss two words or three words when I'm reading. It was brought out that Jonah went to Nineveh and preached and said, yea, 40 days, this place is going to be thrashed. And you know the very next verse, it says, and the people believed God. Nothing is said about Jonah's preaching.
Yeah.
The people believed God. Now that's what the gospel does. People believe God. They're not saying, well, brother so-and-so told me this. They're saying, God said this. All right, here in the book of Micah, in the book of Micah, in chapter 6, Micah chapter 6, we have these words given to us. And I remember many years ago at a camp, a preacher got up and said, this is what we need to do. And you know, you just look at yourself and say, how can you get that done? This is the standard. This is Christ. This is the standard that God requires. You know what? We find out in the scriptures that God is righteous. And the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Did you know in order to save a person, someone's got to die? And those that go through this life without the salvation that is given to them are going to die. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. That is a promise of God. Why? Because he's righteous. He has a standard. And the standard is brought out over here in the book of Zechariah. This is God's standard. Try to keep it if you can, but you can't. There is no righteousness in us, and all we can do is count our self-righteousness. Well, Micah brings this out in the book of Micah chapter 6. Verse 7, Micah chapter 6 and verse 7, it says there, will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams? That just takes us right back to the dedication of the temple, or 40 years in the wilderness with a tabernacle, or with 10,000 of rivers of oil, 10,000 rivers of oil, shall I give my firstborn for my transgression? The fruit of my body for the sin of my soul. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee. Now that's an interesting thought. Demand. That's what that word means. What does the Lord demand of you? Well, he goes on to say here, but to do justly, to love mercy, and walk humbly with thy God. And that's the demand. Now, that's the standard that's required. We just read part of it over here in the book of Zechariah. That's the standard that is required. Who has that standard? Who is able to complete and fulfill all of that? None but Christ. None but the Messiah is able to fulfill all of that. He is the righteous Son of God. We are thankful when he reveals unto us that in our salvation he imputes that righteousness to us. That he gives us that position. It's not ours by work or merit. It is ours by grace and mercy. We have that standard then. We are given Christ. We are in Christ. We have all of the rich blessings of God in Christ Jesus the Lord. So these standards that God has laid out in the scriptures are fulfilled in only one, and that is in the person Christ Jesus. We could go through these every day, memorize them, try to put them into effect. Now, it's not wrong to live right. It's not wrong to live a good neighbor. It's not wrong to be honest. It's not wrong to treat our neighbor as we want to be treated. That's not wrong at all. But just remember that that does not buy our way into heaven. We are only made righteous in Christ Jesus the Lord. There's a standard and we cannot keep that standard. And in fact, the part that is trying to keep it is of the flesh, because the spirit hasn't been quickened, or we wouldn't be trying to do that. The flesh is trying to keep that. And Christ said to his disciples, the flesh profiteth nothing. There's no profit in the flesh. So the flesh is trying to do all of this. That preacher, he's trying to encourage the flesh to be righteous. He's trying to encourage the flesh to do right. Nobody wants a bad neighbor. We all want good neighbors. But that is not going to purchase redemption. Christ alone is the one that is able to purchase redemption. Well, let's go back over here to the book of Zechariah once again, and we find that Zechariah had been very honest in preaching the God of the Bible. That is a very important part of the gospel. This God of the Bible, this God that is eternal, this God is sovereign, this God is merciful, to whom he will have mercy, this God that is gracious, but he has sovereign grace. He is going to dispense it to whom he pleases, where he pleases, at the appointed time he pleases. It's not on our demand, it's on his gift. And then we realize how gracious he is to do that very thing. Well, we go back over here to the book of Zechariah, and Zechariah has explained to us about the Lord of hosts once again. He said, this is the one I'm preaching to you, is this God, the God of the gospel. And this is what the standard is. The standard is Christ. We cannot follow this. Oh, we might be nice to widows, and we might be nice to the fatherless, but the stranger sometimes, or the poor, or the beggar. And let none of you imagine evil against that mind. Imagine evil against his brother in your heart. But now notice this. He's honest about man. That's the gospel. That preacher that brought me the gospel, he just summed it up this way. Ruined by the fall. I found out later, he found that somewhere else. Someone else was preaching that. Ruined by the fall. It's the truth of the gospel. You know what? Natural man doesn't want to know the truth about God, and natural man doesn't want to know the truth about themselves. Our flesh is so decorated. Our flesh is so fluffed up that we don't want to hear the truth about the gospel. We don't hear the truth about God. He's the righteous judge. And we don't want to hear the truth about ourselves to realize that we started as dead in trespasses and sin. We started dead on the ground. And it is he that comes and gives us life. Well, let's notice. These are those who have been brought back from Babylon captivity, back to Jerusalem. These are the family of Judah and Benjamin. These are the ones that are going to carry the line down to Jesus Christ himself. This is Judah. This is their reaction. Yea, they made their... Verse 11. But they refused to hearken. What's that mean? To hear. and pulled away the shoulder. Now, I found that that was an interesting thought. It means in an image from beast refusing to bear the yoke. I've watched guys, well, I'm going to just talk about a horse. I've watched guys try to saddle a horse. If they don't subdue that horse, I'm so thankful for the picture of my Savior dealing with a colt that had never been ridden. And by His sovereign grace, He approached it, got on it, and that colt never bucked a bit. Never been ridden. Not accustomed to this. We are like this beast of burden that refuses to be yoked. And then Christ calls unto us, Matthew, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. But if we back up one verse, we find out why. He's revealed the truth about Himself to us. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly. What a wonderful. Okay, He says they pull away the shoulder. They stop their ears that they should not hear. This, He's talking about the people of God, the Jews. They refused. They had spent 40 years in the wilderness. How many years there in the land Palestine? Taken off into captivity for 70 years. Come back out. You know what? The same thing happened when the ark came to rest. 8 people, you'd think, we got it down now. We've got the problem fixed now. We got rid of all the troublemakers. All those guys who wouldn't come into the ark, we got rid of. What happened? Those guys that rode out that ark had children. What did they pass on to their children? Inherit depravity. And it isn't any time at all. We're back where we started. We're down at the Tower of Babel. Mankind can't change itself. If ever there was a time when our place where we live should have fixed it, it didn't happen. Now, I don't think there's anybody minds someone having a nice place to live in and having food to eat. But that is not what we have for salvation. God is the fixer of wrecks, fixer of deaths. All right, it goes on to tell us here, they pulled away the shoulder, they stopped their ears that they should not hear, yea, they made their hearts an adamant stone. Isn't it interesting, when we get over to the book of Ezekiel, that Ezekiel was preaching the gospel and said, God said, I'll take your stony heart. I'll take out your stony heart. How did it get there? You put it there in the fall. You put it there by your sin. You chose this. Lest they should hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts has sent in His Spirit. Now, the Spirit was just as active in the Old Testament with regard to the preaching of the gospel, because it says, the Lord of hosts has sent in His Spirit by the former prophets. All those prophets that went before, led by the Spirit of God, had preached the same truth to them, and the same results were there. Except the Lord of hosts, Isaiah, except the Lord of hosts. Would you just turn over there to the book of Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 9? Chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1. And we find this comment made by this gospel preacher as he's declaring the truth about God and the truth about man. He says here, except, and here's that same name of God, Lord of hosts. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant. Now he's the reason. He's the cause. If he hadn't been involved, there wouldn't even be a very small remnant. Except the Lord of hosts left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. Now, go way back over to the book of Joshua, if you would. The book of Joshua, chapter 24. Joshua, chapter 24. It's an interesting chapter here, this last chapter of the book of Joshua. In this chapter, faithful Joshua passes away. Faithful Joshua, preacher of righteousness. His name means Savior. His name is Hebrew for he shall save his people from their sins. We find in the Greek, his name is Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Well, here in the book of Joshua, it'd be well if we started with verse 1 of this book of Joshua, but we're not going to. I'll leave that to you. But it is a wonderful history of the children of Israel. It starts from the very beginning when Abraham is called out of a far place. He is a worshiper of other gods. In verse 2 it says, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time. Now that's not the flood that we commonly recognize as Noah. That's from the other side of the Tigris and Euphrates River. Even Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. These guys were polytheistic to the core. Thousands of gods have been identified by this culture of people. And God went down there, and I love what Stephen had to say about it, in his great message about the history of Israel. He said, the God of glory appeared unto Abraham in Ur of the Chaldees and called him out of there. Now, Abraham would have never left without that call. He'd still be down there. His body would be down there. He's called out of that place, just like he calls us out of our Ur of the Chaldees, wherever we are in the religion that we're in. Well, he drops down through and he talks so much about the history of Egypt, of Israel, how they spent time down in Egypt, how God set them free, how he brought them through the wilderness, how he settled them in the promised land, how he did all these things and fulfilled every word that he had ever promised Israel. Now, look with me, if you would, at verse 15, Joshua chapter 24. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites which are on this side of the flood when you are down there in the land, in whose land you dwell, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, that's a good statement, isn't it? Joshua is calling on people to do what they can't do, though. It's just like the preacher in the pulpit standing up and saying, trust Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the best advice you can give. Trust Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And a preacher of the gospel will recognize the fact that unless God gets involved in this, they will be just like they are when they leave. Why do I know that? Because in the verse 19 of this chapter, now this verse is brought out to me. He says, this is what God said. This is what God says. Right there he says, choose you this day. It's a choice. Well, look at verse 19. And Joshua said unto the people, ye cannot serve the Lord. Ye cannot serve the Lord, for he is an holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. By just being Israelites, he's not going to do that. By doing good, he's not going to do that. By just saying, I trust God, it's not going to happen. He goes on down here, and the people say, we can. No, you can't. Unless God intervened. And that leads us over to the book of Isaiah chapter 53. Because in Isaiah 53, this great preacher of grace, Isaiah, is revealed by the grace of God in the gospel. This is God's eternal purpose. He has purposed this. Declare the gospel. Declare the God of the Bible. Declare the Christ of the Bible. declare the condition of natural man. It's not going to be popular. It's not going to meet anybody readily. It's not going to be accepted. People will say, I believe in a God. Yes, they do. Even the devils believe that. But this gospel will be believed when God does this. Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53 and verse 1. Joshua would raise his hand and say, that is it. Moses would raise his hand and say, this is it. Jeremiah, Zechariah, Amos, Obadiah, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all agree here. Because the revelation of Jesus Christ has been given to them, they will come back to this passage of Scripture or this principle of Scripture and say, just as Isaiah did, who hath believed our report? Now, it's just a report. We're just reporting the truth. We're reporting the gospel. From then on, we have nothing that we can do with it. But he goes on to say, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? It's revelation. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's the only way we can ever have the standard of God. That's the only way we can ever meet the standard of God. Someone must die. We mentioned many times over there in Egypt when the children of Israel, I'm not sure that they knew it at the moment when they were required to have the Passover, but it was soon revealed to them, this is the night you're leaving. But in every household, when God came through the land, he said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Every household had a death. In Egypt, it was the death of the firstborn. In the camp of Israel, it was a substitutionary lamb. But there was blood in every household. There was death in every household. And so there will be death. There will be death. Everyone must die. And it will be in Christ or it will be themselves. In the book of Romans chapter 11. Let's look there for just a moment. The book of Romans chapter 11. We find the Apostle Paul is shared this great truth that Isaiah was writing about, Zechariah is writing about over here in the book of Zechariah and in the Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. And there in verse 5 it says, even so then at this present time, and you know I'm sure that as exuberant as Paul was about the gospel and as exuberant as he was about preaching the gospel, he just wrote that down and says, amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. For even at this present time, it's no wonder he said in the 15th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians, and last of all, he was seen of me as one born out of due time. Why? At this very time, at this present time, also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. There is a remnant according to the election of grace. How precious is that? How precious is that? He could shout hallelujah all the way through the writing here. I can just imagine, because I do that when I'm reading it. Can you imagine reading it and writing it at the same time? The exuberance he had as he saw the fulfillment of the gospel through his pen, as God moved his pen to write these great truths that we rejoice in. What are they? God is a great God. He is an eternal God. He is a holy God. He is a righteous God. He's the God of all life. He's the God of resurrection. Jesus Christ is the only Savior. There's none other name under heaven whereby we must be saved. He is the only Savior. He is the God, the very God himself. And God went to the cross. You know, I spent some time over there in the book of Daniel today. Is it chapter 9? I think it's chapter 9. And you know it says there that the prince went to the cross not for himself. Oh, hallelujah. Not for himself, but for us. That's why he went. He was cut off for us. Not for himself, but for us. Well, and then let's go back for just a moment or two again in the book of Zechariah and finish that chapter and what it has to say. This is God speaking. This is that Lord of hosts speaking. He says there that their hearts were as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law. Verse 12 of Zechariah chapter 7. Yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts hath sent in his spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. Now, guess what's in verses 13 and 14? Therefore, it is come to pass that as he cried, and they would not hear, so they cried, and I would not hear, saith the Lord of hosts. This is the word to those he called, and you would not come. Now we know the problem. Natural man will not come. But the judgment has fallen. I scattered them with the whirlwind among all nations whom they knew not. Thus the land was desolate after them, that no man passed through nor returned, for they laid the pleasant land desolate. Isn't that a description of the fall? Laid a pleasant land desolate. What a problem we have. That's what we face. Isaiah also wrote, he said, how long am I going to do this? How long do you want me to do this? Until I tell you to stop. Nobody's going to listen but those that God turns on the ear. Nobody's going to see until God gives them sight. Nobody's going to believe until he gives them belief. Nobody's going to have repentance until he gives them repentance. He is going to be the Savior, every bit of the Savior of his people. They will not say that they contributed one cent to their redemption. They will all, with one consent, say, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. He is the one that redeemed me from my sin, redeemed me from my death, and brought me out. And so the Lord of hosts, what a glorious name Zechariah uses, what a statement he makes about this is the standard. Now, if you want to look at it in the flesh, say, okay, do the best you can. Look at it in the flesh. But it's not a spiritual attainment. You can't meet this standard. Christ is the standard. And the natural state of man, nobody will come except the Lord call them and grant them the new birth, and then they will bow. We don't make Jesus Christ Lord. That was done by God before the foundation of the world. And in our salvation, we acknowledge that. We didn't know it before, but we acknowledge that. And God's people are thankful for his free and sovereign grace and mercy. And we're thankful that as Zechariah preached, those who heard God. All right. Thank you for your time tonight.